Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 85 in a series of 260, covering the happenings of the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. The format, same as that of the great Frank Fitzsimmons and his coverage of early happenings, so we simply call this Where Fitz Left Off. The Wets won the election March 2nd, 1960, but the fight had just begun. I referred earlier to a Mr. James A. Stutz, who was from Raleigh and a representative of the Brewery Foundation. He came here to assist in the planning with the Wet forces for that election, and in fact he stayed through the election. I mentioned how Mr. Stutz did not actually blend in. He always insisted on wearing a James Bond trench coat and stood out like a sore thumb. On election day, Stutz was in and out of the voting place at City Hall on numerous occasions, and both sides, being suspect of the other side, were quick to spot this stranger and observe his every move. There were also allegations that some folks had been refused the right to vote. Some had voted that shouldn't have voted. So, less than a week later, Superior Court Judge Willie McLean, responding to complaints brought by 9 people on behalf of the Dry Forces and other citizens of the city, Judge McLean issued a restraining order forbidding the city from doing anything toward the sale of beer and wine until the complaints and advector legal case could be heard. The Supreme Court assigned Judge George Fountain, their troubleshooter, to come here to hear the case, and after certain legal maneuvering, the case went to trial in late June. Some 10 or 15 witnesses were called in behalf of the Dry Forces, the plaintiffs, some saying that they'd seen money change hands between some wet workers and voters coming into City Hall. Others alleged that when one of the wet workers would talk to a voter and would help him mark the ballot, he would wink at the late Ben Israel, who ran a grocery store on 7th, and when the voter would start to leave, Israel would give the voter a slip of paper which entitled him to a free chicken. The Drys alleged that the word was passed, "When you vote, get your hen from Ben." In fact, one of the slips was brought into evidence, and the man was questioned as to why and how he had turned over this slip to the Dry Forces. He testified that he was threatened by one of the Dry Forces and said they'd put him in jail if he didn't give them the slip. He said when he did give them the slip, they gave him $2. Well, the testimony went on for the better part of 2 days, and when the plaintiffs rested, motion was made for a non-suit on grounds that if every irregularity alleged could be proven, it would not have changed the outcome of the election. Judge Fountain immediately ordered the case non-suited and the restraining order dissolved. Plaintiffs then filed notice of appeal to the Supreme Court. In the meantime, the Wet Forces decided that with such a lopsided victory in the beer and wine election, they ought to try for an ABC store. That election was held August 31st the same year and approved the ABC store by 68 votes, 893 for, 825 against. In the meantime, the city had appointed I.T. Olson, chairman, along with Melvin Hatch and John McLeod, as a city commission to receive applications for beer and wine licenses, and the commission had even adopted an ordinance establishing rules and regulations, which went to the city council July 7, 1960. But they couldn't do anything beyond that until the issue was resolved by the Supreme Court. In the meantime, after the ABC store election, the city appointed a commission to establish and oversee an ABC store. Harry Buchanan was chairman, J. Steve Porter and Bob Quinn were members. This commission, being unfettered by any legal action, moved quickly, and the ABC store opened November 19th in its present location. Now, the Supreme Court did throw out the appeal by the Dry Forces on the beer and wine election November 10th, but it would be some time before applications could be accepted and processed, and the incongruity became reality when the Dry Forces, who had fought beer and wine so hard, saw liquor being sold legally in the community while you still couldn't buy a beer. A footnote. August 28, 1980, a liquor by the drink election was presented to the voters. It passed 1,016 to 810. And since then, the town of Laurel Park voted approval of an ABC store, liquor by the drink, and off-premises sale of beer and wine. In both cases, no public money was used. Banks loaned initial funds for preparing a place of sale and for inventory. The loans were repaid from proceeds. In the city ABC operation, since the store was first established, over $6 million has been paid to local institutions, 50% to the city of Hendersonville, 25% to the county, schools received 24% and 1% for the library. in the town of Laurel Park since January 17, 1983. Over $600,000 has been paid, 62% to the town, 25% to the county, 12% to schools, and 1% to the library. But remembering that first program on Monday, all the fights that raged for some 25 years were provoked by abuses in the sale of the product back in the 30s and the 40s and into the 50s. Memories of a seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here with a good sense never to leave him with a job he's enjoyed all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.